Diabetes Insights, Breakthroughs and Innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
Hello again, EASD TV. I'm Vivian Parry, and we're talking about an intriguing session, which was entitled, and I'll get you the right title here, I Need Some Help, Glucose Emergencies in the ED. Well, to talk about emergencies of many different sorts, I've got two people who were speaking at that session, and that's Aoife Egan from the Mayo Clinic in the US, and Daniel Morgenstern, who's from the Royal Marsden in London, and the Royal Marsden, I should tell you, is a cancer hospital. So, tell us a bit about emergencies.
Well, the focus of my talk was glycemic emergencies during pregnancy. And I really wanted to shine a spotlight on diabetic ketoacidosis in pregnancy, which is an obstetric and a medical emergency. It continues to affect many women, particularly those with type 1 and type 2 diabetes in pregnancy. They're at greatest risk. And it's associated with a relatively high pregnancy loss. And that's, again, you know, the reason that I wanted to discuss how important it is to be on high alert for symptoms and signs of severe hyperglycemia that could develop into DKA. And so really, if any pregnant woman with diabetes reports being sick, feeling unwell, particularly if their sugars are high, then we really need to work up for diabetic ketoacidosis.
Now, the problem is that being sick in pregnancy is not that uncommon. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that there's a bit of, oh no, they're dealing with it, with the patient falling down in the cracks between the middle.
Yeah, and I think that's a big risk, particularly as some hospitals maybe don't deal with pregnancy or some only deal with pregnancy. And this, you know, really requires input from generally endocrinologists and obstetricians. And so kind of increasing awareness, I think women that have diabetes need to be counseled in pre-pregnancy care and during pregnancy that this is an entity, it can happen. And the big thing is that DKA happens quicker in pregnancy. It happens at lower glucose values than what you would expect. And it can be more rapidly progressive. And so, again, counseling women that if glucose is persistently high, you know, if you've got a serum glucose that's persistently above 200 milligrams per deciliter, if you're vomiting, and certainly if ketones start to appear, you really need to have a low threshold for coming to an emergency department to get the full laboratory workup.
And is there an issue about triage? Because very often pregnant women have to battle through all sorts of different layers of, you know, gatekeepers, if you like, who may not recognize this to be the medical emergency that it is.
Yeah, I think, you know, every institution differs, but certainly having worked in many different institutions on both sides of the pond, I appreciate that, you know, sometimes in early pregnancy, obstetrics may not be necessarily hugely involved. And then as pregnancy goes on, maybe the medics might want to take a step back. But I think this is the one area where really both are needed. And that just takes kind of on the ground education, you know, among healthcare providers. Just the whole multidisciplinary team needs to know that this is a condition that requires multi-specialty input. And that's why it was nice to have this session here to be able to highlight this as an important condition.
Daniel, what's it like in cancer care? Because presumably a large number of people with cancer will also have diabetes.
Yeah, exactly. So about 20% of people with cancer have diabetes, and we know that they're greater risk of emergency admissions and presentations, a greater risk of poor glucose control. But the focus of my session today was actually around diabetes and hyperglycemic emergencies caused by some of the newer cancer drugs, where I think really the focus is on recognition. So there's people without known diabetes who may develop very rapid onset forms of diabetes, some irreversible, some reversible, caused by the cancer drug. And it's this sort of recognition, the need to know that there is now, it's not just chemotherapy, there's this plethora of different cancer treatments. You need to know what someone's had and be aware of the possibility of hyperglycemia in order to be able to recognize and manage them appropriately.
So what I'm hearing from both of you is the need for much greater awareness amongst a wider range of your colleagues, both nursing, in consultants, the whole range, as well as perhaps on people on admissions.
Yes, and again, patients with cancer will often present in emergencies to their local hospital, not to the cancer centre, where there may not be the same recognition. There's an even greater complexity with cancer immunotherapy, which we know is being used increasingly to treat ever larger numbers of cancers, where it can sometimes actually cause side effects, including diabetes, after the patient's finished treatment, sometimes 1 to 2 years after cessation of therapy. So there is this real potential gap for people to fall through if they're not seeing their specialist centre.
I know there was another presentation as well. Would you like to cover a bit of that if you can?
Yes. The third presentation in this session really focused on diabetic ketoacidosis in another subspecialty population, and that is people with diabetes and kidney failure. And I think really the thrust of that talk was the importance of trying to balance fluid, particularly understanding that many of these patients are anuric and the treatment of DKA involves a high volume fluid. So trying to have that delicate balance, some very useful tips were provided on how to remove fluid without going through, a whole standard dialysis. And also then potassium management and understanding that you have to be careful not to overdo the potassium replacement in these patients. So again, I think they're a population that are more vulnerable. They're often frail with multi-morbidity, and really close monitoring during a DKA episode is needed.
Now, I'm going to suggest that this is a subject for the EASD e-learning platform, because there seems to be a lot of these things that in different specialties where you really need that knowledge of how these strange presentations may occur. Because what you're saying is it's the out of the ordinary ones that are the tricky ones.
I agree, but that's only the starting point, because we then need our diabetes colleagues to go out and educate their general medical colleagues, their emergency department colleagues, their oncologists, their obstetric colleagues. So I think it's that outreach, that spreading of the awareness and the knowledge that then becomes the key to ensuring better outcomes.
And how do you stop that gap forming between different teams about who should be called in and when? Because that also seems to be an area of great concern.
I think leading by example is probably the first step in that, being curious if someone calls, understanding that everybody's busy, but trying to help as much as you can on the ground. But I also think that, institutions need to have clear protocols in place. For example, at our institution, if a pregnant woman presents with diabetic ketoacidosis, there is a standard order set that involves, a mandatory consult to both obstetrics and medical teams. And sometimes this is good in the middle of the night when maybe not everybody's on site, but it just has a protocol that needs to be followed. And I think that's really important. But I agree, talks like this, shining a spotlight on it at EASD and other meetings, and then, us going out to our colleagues maybe in different subspecialties will help.
And Daniel, your hospital is an unusual one in that it is principally an association of, oncologists, but they all have the ability to deal with diabetes, and you haven't got a separate diabetes team. And I know you feel that that's a situation that works well. Tell me the reasoning behind that.
So I think that's good for recognition, and you certainly during active cancer treatment, most patients' first point of contact when they become unwell is going to be their cancer team, and they have to have the knowledge and the skills to recognise needs to be done. I think, though, it needs close liaison with other hospitals, other centres, and particularly where you have got standalone cancer units, good pathways to ensure that patients are admitted to general hospitals with that general medical and diabetes and ITU expertise when necessary as well.
It's a really, really interesting subject and such an important one. So, of course, that session is available on demand through EASD. And thank you both very much. Really good to hear from you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at EASD.org.